Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Family members of those killed in the 9/11 terrorist attacks are still fighting to get some kind of justice for their loved ones. Kristen Brittweiser is an attorney and a co-founder of September 11th Advocates. She recently wrote the piece, "My husband died on 9/11. I am still waiting for a trial of his killers," for The Intercept. She spoke with KPFA weekend news anchor and KBOO contributor David Rosenberg. He asked her how transparent the government has been about what happened on September 11th, 2001.
I don't think the government's being transparent at all with regard to sharing the evidence and information that it has in its custody, particularly the information that the 9/11 families are fighting to gain access to currently, so that we can hold the co-conspirators of the murders of our husbands and loved ones accountable in a court of law.
What about the commission that looked into the matter? I recall that the Bush administration didn't want the commission in the first place, and then they wanted to appoint Henry Kissinger to head it, and there was an outcry about that because he was kind of an insider. And then they appointed a couple of ostensibly independent people to head it. I think it was Lee Hamilton. Well, he was the vice chair, but what was it? Tom Kane, the former governor of New Jersey. But the guy who ran it day to day was Philip Zelikow, who was a Bush administration insider. Did you feel at the time that the commission was going to be able to do a good job in its investigation?
No, I think immediately at the outset, we had grave concerns, particularly, like you said, at the outset when Kissinger was appointed. And then thereafter, when the commissioners themselves were chosen, I had conducted the research on the backgrounds of each of the commissioners and also the staff director. And we had serious concerns about the ability of the commission to conduct a thorough investigation and to provide the answers that we were seeking with regard to the 9/11 attacks, the how and the why our loved ones were killed, why the attacks themselves were not prevented, because it was our opinion and it continues to be our opinion, in addition to the opinion of Lee Hamilton and Tom Kane, that the U.S. government had all the information it needed in its files, in its custody to prevent the attacks from happening. And for a host of reasons, the attacks were not prevented in time, and people like my husband and 3,000 others were killed.
And in fact, the chair and the vice chair and a number of members of the commission have said it was not a complete investigation, right? That they weren't able to interview all the people they needed to interview and weren't able to see the documents they needed to see. Is that your recollection?
Yeah, that's accurate. We tried very hard to pressure members of the various congressional committees. We tried very hard to force the intelligence agencies that were not cooperative to provide all of their information. We fought very hard to get subpoena power for the commission themselves to get the documents and the evidence that they needed. Unfortunately, a perfect example is the NSA. Very few people want to know this fact, but the truth is the NSA provided absolutely no information or evidence to the 9/11 Commission. I think the reason for that is because the NSA has had surveillance over what's called the Yemen switchboard, which was the kind of telephone network that bin Laden was using to talk to his operatives to plan attacks like the embassy bombing, the coal bombing, and the 9/11 attacks. The NSA was monitoring that Yemen switchboard from around 1998 forward. And I think that that's probably one of the biggest reasons why the NSA did not share what it knew about Al-Qaeda, bin Laden, and particularly the 19 hijackers in the lead up to the 9/11 attacks.
So what would you like to see happen now?
I think right now what the families are fighting for is access to the evidence and information so that we can hold the terrorists accountable and all of the co-conspirators accountable. You know, at the end of the day, 3,000 people were murdered in broad daylight in Lower Manhattan. We live in the United States of America. It's a democracy that's supposed to be based upon the rule of law. And so my husband's death certificate lists his manner of death as a homicide, along with 3,000 other people that were killed that day. And I don't understand why not one president, not one Congress, not one attorney general, U.S. attorney, or even a Manhattan district attorney has not sought fit to prosecute any of the co-conspirators of the 9/11 attacks, of which there are many, and for which those many, these prosecutors, these U.S. attorneys, these Manhattan district attorneys, these attorneys general have plenty of information and evidence in their files. And by prosecutorial choice, they refuse to indict and fully prosecute those co-conspirators. I think that's a problem. I think that leaves us unsafe from terrorists, because the message that goes out to terrorist organizations is that you can go inside the United States of America, murder 3,000 people in broad daylight, and the American government will not hold you accountable for that in any criminal prosecution. And I think that that is an extremely dangerous message to send to terrorist organizations.
And does the government say that this is a matter of national security and is not an ordinary homicide type investigation? Or do they not say anything?
Well, you know, they have to give you reasons for why they keep the information classified and not submit to the declassification orders that they're supposed to. And yes, they slap national security reasoning on why they don't declassify. They slap state secrets privilege on some of the information. And it all surrounds, you know, what they say, intelligence sources and methods. But you're talking about intelligence sources and methods that are 20 years old. To me, it's a ridiculous reason for them to keep the information secret. I don't think it's the real reason the information is being kept secret. And I would point to the Khashoggi case and the information that was released to the American public by President Biden surrounding the Khashoggi murder. Certainly, if President Biden can release information that involved the wiretapping of a sitting Saudi crown prince's private communications between himself and his intelligence Tiger Squad that happened in 2018, I don't quite understand why President Biden will not release the information surrounding the 9/11 attacks that didn't necessarily involve a sitting Saudi crown prince and took place, of course, 20 years ago.
Any sympathy in Congress for your position? Do you have allies?
We do have allies in Congress. We've always had some allies that have stood by us for a number of years. Unfortunately, Congress is very good at looking like they're helping the 9/11 families. But in the end of the day, a lot of the legislation that gets passed has problems. You would call them poison pills within the legislation. One of those pieces of legislation was JASTA, the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act. That was legislation that we fought for in 2016 that President Obama opposed, that we wanted so that we could hold the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia accountable for its alleged role in the murder of our loved ones on September 11th. President Obama vetoed that legislation as a result of some of the congressional give and take on that piece of legislation. It lost a lot of its teeth. Another example of legislation where Congress likes to look like they're helping us and they're really not is the current Transparency Act that's being put forth by Senators Schumer and Menendez. When you look into that legislation, there are certainly many other things that can be put in there that would give the legislation some teeth and some consequences if the U.S. government fails to declassify the information that we need to hold terrorists accountable. For whatever reason, Senator Menendez does not want to put any teeth in that legislation. He does not want the government to suffer any consequences should they fail to declassify the information that we know that the government has, that we merely want to use to hold terrorists and their co-conspirators accountable. Why any senator would block our ability to do that is simply beyond my realm of understanding.
And when you talk about co-conspirators, these people are known as far as you're concerned, and would they be people in Saudi Arabia?
They're absolutely known. I mean, for 20 years, our intelligence agencies have had information about logistical support, financial support of the hijackers themselves. They have that information in their files. And we just simply want access to it so that we can use it to hold terrorists accountable, so that we can know that those logistical networks, those financial networks are shut down, so that there are consequences and repercussions for institutions, banks, charities that allow money to flow to terrorists that kill innocent civilians. That's what we want. We want our day in court, and we can't have our path to justice that we are entitled to under the laws of this country if the U.S. government blocks that path to justice. And for the last 20 years, that's what we've encountered. We have not encountered a US government that has helped us in our plight to hold terrorists accountable for murder. We found a US government that actually literally sits on the side of the terrorists in a courtroom.
And what about what the government actually did when they went into Afghanistan and rounded up people and brought them back to Guantanamo?
I think Guantanamo
people who might have been sent there because they had a rival who pointed them out to the U.S. forces and said, that guy, you know.
I think the detainees at Guantanamo, it's a frustrating issue for the 9/11 families because they were tortured by the CIA. We are unable to hold them accountable in a court of law. And it looks at this point that we will not be able to hold them accountable in a military tribunal, all because they were tortured by the CIA. So there's another avenue of our path to justice that's being blocked. And at the end of the day, 20 years out, like I said, 3,000 homicides, and we are not able to hold anyone accountable. We are not able to receive any modicum of justice for those cold-blooded murders. And it is very disheartening to know that rather than working in concert with the families by helping us to do everything to hold these co-conspirators accountable, in many ways, the U.S. government looks the other way and exonerates them. And I want to point out that this is not a Democrat or Republican issue. We have had the Bush administration, the Obama administration, the Trump administration, and we are currently with the Biden administration. And we have had several iterations of Congress during all of those past 20 years, all of which have sought fit to protect terrorists rather than provide the 9/11 families with the evidence and information that we need to have a better understanding of the murder of our loved ones, to hold everyone accountable who should be held accountable, and to know at the end of the day that we are safer from terrorists.
There does seem to be a continuity in American foreign policy, and it doesn't seem to be advantageous to the population very much.
But I think that's undoubtedly true, and it's gone on for decades. It certainly didn't start on 9/11. But I think that until the people that make those bad foreign policy decisions are held to account, they're going to continue to operate and make their decisions with free license. And truly, as I pointed out in the Intercept article, in their cost-benefit analysis of these foreign policy decisions, the death of innocent civilians does not ever get considered. We're always outnumbered and outweighed by the other side of that equation, which furthers the interest of those who make the foreign policy decisions. And until the American public, and in fact, everyone around the globe, stands up and puts a stop to it, it's going to continue. And I'm here to tell you firsthand that it is not pleasant to be my government's foreign policy's collateral damage. It's an awful place to be. And myself and the other widows have fought 20 years to try to learn the lessons, to try to hold people accountable so that we could get the information out to the American public so that we would learn the lessons and that no one else would ever have to walk in our shoes to know what it's like to be, you know, your government's foreign policy's collateral damage. And sadly, I think that we failed. I think that, you know, when you look at what's going on in Afghanistan this very day, you know, we don't seem to have learned from the many, many past bad mistakes and judgment calls our governments carried out in the last four decades or more.
That was Kristen Brittweiser of September 11th Advocates. She recently wrote the piece, "My Husband Died on 9/11. I'm Still Waiting for a Trial of His Killers," for The Intercept. She spoke with KABU contributor David Rosenberg for KABU News In Depth.